1548 on the Globe Trotting Program. Alhamdulillah. And what a lovely day today. We are in midwinter, but what a lovely day. Alhamdulillah. Allah shukr. Alhamdulillah. It's great and sad. Sad for what is happening around in the world with the Muslim Ummah. And Alhamdulillah, you know, the strength of Iman that lots of people have shown, where they are condemning what is happening in Palestine at the moment. There are some nations which are sitting quiet, which we expect to make a noise, but they're sitting quiet, whereas some of the others are taking a stance, and those that the unexpected nations are taking a stance against the apartheid Israeli regime. But more than that, we should all just sit and make dua to the Almighty Allah for the Palestinian people as a whole, as well as Masjid al-Aqsa and Muslims throughout the world. There's a rot that is coming from within us also. We should make dua that Allah protects us all. Allah protects all the Muslims throughout the world. Especially the images that are coming out of Palestine at the moment. It is very, very, very sad. But Allah protects. Allah protects. And those people are determined to hold Masjid al-Aqsa in their hands. And inshallah, Allah will grant them victory. We should all say amen to that. Allah will grant the Palestinians victory, inshallah, and free Masjid al-Aqsa. And that's what we want, inshallah. With what's going on at the moment, it is extremely sad. So please, even if it means making an extra 2 rakat salah, just for Masjid al-Aqsa and the Palestinian people, Allah give them strength, and let that be the savior, the 2 rakat salah, let that be the savior for Masjid al-Aqsa and the Palestinian people. We are in solidarity for the Palestinian people, irrespective of what. They are there to protect the precinct of Masjid al-Aqsa. And inshallah, they are putting their lives forward. Men, women, children, putting their lives forward. I don't think we can do that. But we should pray to the Almighty Allah. Ya Allah, please protect them and give them victory. But it's imminent, inshallah. It is. It's going to happen, inshallah. We are now very close to end of times, as we can see what's going on. And there's the rot within us. People making comments of Sahaba and so on. That is bad. That is extremely bad. And we should distance ourselves from things like that. Sahaba, we should protect. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we should protect. And we should distance ourselves from all this fitna that's now going about. Allah make it easy for us all. Today I want to talk to you about 5 Muslim paradise islands with plenty of halal food. But before that, last week, we spoke about the DRC. And to all those that responded and asked for the guest's number, Alhamdulillah, he was inundated with calls regarding DRC, which a country which we thought of that is a no-go zone. And Alhamdulillah, that turns out to be one of the safest places where they got money exchanges on the street. You people are sitting with dollars and changing dollars to their currency, their francs, on the streets with no crime. With no crime. There was so much of information. In fact, we didn't have enough time last week to talk about what was the information that was given to us by the guest about the DRC. But the program is podcasted. If you want to listen, it has been cut short. It is podcasted, but you can listen to the gist of the program, Alhamdulillah. So, in fact, most of our programs are all podcasted. So if there's anything that you missed out or anything that you want to listen to, you can go back to the podcast and listen to our programs, Alhamdulillah. And you'll be able to pick up lots of information from the programs that we've had. Now, we are going to talk of the 5 Muslim paradise islands, but before we go on with that, there was a small little article that I would like to read, and it was so touching, and I said, you know how true this is, where it says, truer words were never spoken. The less you associate with some people, the more your life will improve. Anytime you tolerate mediocrity in others, it increases your mediocrity. An important attribute in successful people is their patience with negative thinking and negative acting people. As you grow, your associates will change. Some of your friends will not want you to go on. They will want you to stay where they are. Friends that don't help you climb will want you to crawl. Your friends will stretch your vision or choke your dream. Those that don't increase you will eventually decrease you. Consider this. Never receive counsel from an unproductive people. Never discuss your problems with someone incapable of contributing to the solution. Because those who never succeed themselves are always first to tell you how. Not everyone has a right to speak into your life. You are certain to get the worst of the bargain when you exchange ideas with the wrong person. Don't follow anyone who is not going anywhere. With some people, you spend an evening. With others, you invest it. Be careful where you stop to inquire for directions along the road of life. Wise is the person who fortifies his life with the right friendships. If you run with wolves, you will learn how to howl. But if you associate with eagles, you will learn how to soar to great heights. A mirror reflects a man's face, but what he is really. Like is shown in the kind of friends he chooses. The simple but true fact of life is that you become like those with whom you closely associate for the good and the bad. Note, be not mistaken, this is applicable to family as well as friends. Yes, do love, appreciate, and be thankful for your family. For they will always be your family, no matter what. Just know that they are human beings first. And though they are family to you, they may be a friend to someone else and will fit somewhere in the criteria above. In prosperity, our friends know us. In adversity, we know our friends. Never make someone a priority when you are only an option for them. If you are going to achieve excellence in big things, you develop the habit in little matters. Excellence is not an exception. It is a prevailing attitude. How profound, how profound. I just found it to be so fantastic to listen, to read, and I thought I'd share it with you. Okay, let us talk about 5 Muslim paradise islands with plenty of halal food. Now, when it comes to us traveling, when it comes to us going anywhere, we always have, and as Muslims, we always have one thing, that where can we get halal food before we do anything? And that question, I repeat time and time again of what listeners always ask me, where do we get halal food? Now, there are 5 islands, beautiful islands. Now, when it comes to islands, you would pick up that many a times I speak of a lot of different countries, but I love to speak of islands. I love to speak of that white sandy beaches, turquoise waters, because that is something which I just enjoy. Wherever you go, be it even a city tour and where there's a small little island, I would prefer being in the city and go back to the island just for a retreat. But we don't have it here in Johannesburg, so that's the best you can do. Now, what better vacation than a vacation at a paradise island? With crystal clear water, amazing coral reefs, and a lot of local halal food. This is what I call all-inclusive. These paradise islands with a Muslim majority are a must-see for every Muslim who loves to travel. Not only is nature and the surroundings amazing, you will also feel at ease amongst the Muslim family that are there. And believe me when I tell you, when you go to these islands and when you say you are Muslim, your treatment automatically changes. I've experienced it personally. Your treatment automatically changes and they treat you exceptionally well. I had experienced it on several islands, including Zanzibar. And Zanzibar was, I think, it was the cherry on top, the way they treated us, alhamdulillah, knowing that we are Muslim. Now you get the Cocos Island, which is the killing island in Australia. Australia's last unspoiled paradise lies in the azure waters of the Indian Ocean, kissed by the sun and caressed by fragrant trade winds, offering spectacular snorkeling, world-class diving, excellent fishing, and the adrenaline rush of kite surfing. That is something which is lovely to do, kite surfing. The Cocos Killing Islands are also a deeply tranquil holiday location. You relax on empty beaches, you visit uninhabited islands by canoe, you watch the spectacular bird life, or catch the ferry to home island and discover the culture and traditions of the Cocos Malay people. Now, I'm saying the Cocos Malay people, remember that. I'll tell you more about how these people came about. the people of the island in Australia. It's situated 2,750 kilometers northwest of Perth. That's Western Australia. And the Cocos Keeling Islands are a group of coral islands that form two atolls. Only two of the 27 islands are inhabited. The rest are waiting for you to explore them. And go check out what's there. And believe me, look at those white sandy beaches. White sandy beaches. Beautiful. Cocos Islands were settled in 1826 by Alexander Hare, an Englishman. Even though Cocos Islands are a part of Australia, the mother language of the islands is Malay and English. Now they speak the Malay language there. This paradise island was an area of about 14.5 square kilometers, only has about 600 inhabitants. But it is a tourist destination. You've got 600 people there. And four like here, each one knows one another there. Beautiful. At least you'll be found quite fast in case you get lost on that island. The newly named Cozies Beach in the Cocos Islands has been named Australia's top stretch of sand by beach expert Brett Farmer. In Cocos Islands, 80% of the population are Muslim. And they upkeep the Islamic faith, alhamdulillah. Despite their mixed origins, the Cocos Malay people achieved an identity of their own within one generation of settlement on the Cocos Keeling Islands. The Cocos born, as they were officially called, lived separately from the European owner settlers of the island. The Cocos Malay people had their own masjids, their own leaders, and their own ceremonies. So they were a semi-autonomous island, I would say, where they lived on their own and did their own thing. But was Islam as their religion, alhamdulillah. Today, the cornerstone of Cocos Malay society is Islam. Few depart from its teachings and observances, and Islam is the focus of most of the people that live there. That is Cocos Island. So if you are looking at that, it's a small island, so if you are going to Australia, try and hop across and visit those people. That will be nice to see. That'll be nice to do. I haven't been there myself, but that'll be lovely to do, alhamdulillah. The second one we have is Zanzibar. Zanzibar, which is in Tanzania. It's known as the Spice Island. The beautiful island of Zanzibar on Africa's east coast is bursting with culture and history. Seemingly at odds with its idyllic geography of white sand beaches, with palms swaying lazily in the sea breeze. Together, this makes Zanzibar a fabulous place to explore as well as a dream to relax and unwind. Zanzibar is the semi-autonomous part of Tanzania and East Africa. From Johannesburg, it's very close. There's direct flights that go from Johannesburg on Mango Airlines. And you have the Serena Hotel Group with the Serena Hotels, which are, it's about a 5 or 7 star hotel, which is just on the coast of Stone Town, just in the town of Stone Town, just on the outskirts, on the beach, you have the Serena Hotel Group. Beautiful, what a lovely hotel, alhamdulillah. It is composed of the Zanzibar Archipelago in the Indian Ocean, which is about 25 to 50 kilometers off the coast of the mainland, Tanzania, and consists of many small islands and two large ones. That's the Unguja, that's the main island referred to informally as Zanzibar, and then you have Pemba, which is also part of the same archipelago. The capital is Zanzibar City, which is located on the island of Ugunja. Its historic center is Stone Town, which is also a World Heritage Site, the whole town itself. And you'll find when you get off the ferry and you come just onto the island, you'll see as you come onto the island on the left-hand side, they've got those heritage buildings. Yeah, that's also a tourist attraction. You go up to those heritage buildings, there's a lot to see there. There's the history of Zanzibar, and you'll find lots of Arabic writing, and you'll find lots about Arabs when it comes to going to Stone Town into those heritage sites. Zanzibar's coastline offers some of the best beaches in the world, but sand and surf vary depending on what side of the island you're on. On the east coast, waves break over the coral reefs and sandbars offshore, and low tide reveals small pools of starfish, small minnows, and anemones. Up north, ocean swimming is much less susceptible to the tides, and smooth beaches and white sand make for a dazzling days in the sun. I always tell lots of listeners, if you heard a few, I think several times when we spoke about Zanzibar, we spoke of going up north and staying north of the island. That is the best place. It's not as windy as the southern side of the island. The northern side is extremely calm, and your white sandy beaches are there. You have those turquoise waters, which are, when you walk deep into the ocean, you'd probably be just waist deep, I would say. That is on the northern side. Lots of people, you'll find there are lots of specials which come out. But be careful with which holiday resorts or which hotels you're taking. Because what happens is, if you're going down south or you're going to the eastern side, you'll find it's quite rough on that side. You'll find that it's some of the beaches there you cannot swim, because you'll find lots of corals and it's lots of stones, I would say, in the ocean. And it's not as calm as the northern side. And the northwestern side is the best, I would say. Always the case. Islam arrived to Tanzania with the Arab slave traders. Did you know that 98.9% of the population in Zanzibar are Muslim? Women with colorful clothes, they fish in shallow waters, and they carry their pots with which they hunt small fish into their net. After a couple of hours, they take home just a full pot of small fish. And that, you'd find fish in Zanzibar in abundance. All types of fish. Whichever hotel you go to, you're going to find lots of fish. Lots of different types of fish cooked in different ways. And you'll just enjoy fish. Although they say that the meats are all halal in Zanzibar, normally we don't take a chance with all that. Even though they say that, we try not to take a chance. And we prefer having the fish. And alhamdulillah, lovely. For that 5 or 7 days, you can thoroughly enjoy the type of different types of fish that they have. Just a fun fact. Did you know that there's an island in Tanzania, south of Zanzibar, called Mafia Island? It has some quite nice places to dive. In Tanzania, they speak more than 140 different languages, mashallah. That's almost a language for every citizen, I would say. But they do understand Arabic also. When you go to Zanzibar, they do understand Arabic. And you find lots of small little masjids also on the island. That is what we'd love to see. And then we have the Lombok Islands, which is in Indonesia. But I think what we'll do is we'll go for a short eight break, and when we get back from the break, we'll talk about the Lombok Islands in Indonesia, and then we have the Maldives, which is also a Muslim island, and then you have Langkawi. But we'll continue right after the break. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back. If you just joined us, you're listening to myself, Mohammed Lambat, on Medium Wave 1548 on the Globe Trotting Program. Alhamdulillah, today we're talking of five Muslim paradise islands with plenty of halal food. And it is something which we all look forward to. We all look forward to going to a destination where there's halal food. I must just tell you one thing. I had a listener that called me during the week. We spoke about Seychelles about 3 weeks ago or so. And we had mentioned about the halal situation and so on. The listener personally went to Seychelles and found that halal was very scarce. Not all the places had halal. And she mentioned to me that, as we spoke, that lots of meat was halal on the island. The meat that was halal on the island was probably for those Omani Arabs that came to their residences. Probably the meats were for them. But as far as the restaurants were concerned, halal was a bit of a problem. So just be very careful when you are going. Like I said earlier on, just before the break also, that it's rather stick to fish. Rather stick to the... You're going to those islands, you're going to those type of places, stick to the fish, which is the most safest. And you must make sure that when you go to the restaurants or wherever it is, ask the manager for you to probably talk to the chef and ask them to assist you as far as cleaning up the utensils before preparing your meals for you and so on is concerned. They will do that. They are very helpful from all my experiences. I don't think I've had any place where they said, no, they wouldn't do that for us. They'd assist us in all instances. So you can't do that. So just be wary. We had mentioned that. I just want to clarify as to what had transpired thereafter. And like I said, a listener had called. And I really appreciate all the input that I get from all the listeners out there when it comes to any of the issues that we have. I truly appreciate it. Our SMS line is always 072-786-5520. It's 072-786-5520. Or my email address, Mohammed, M-O-H-A-M-E-D, Mohammed at globetrotting.co.za. You can text me or you can WhatsApp me or you can also email me and I will respond to whatever it is, which I will, as far as possible, where I can, I will respond, inshallah. There are some queries that I get which are so unique that I don't know, should I respond or not? You do get that, but that happens, I accept it. That's part of the job, alhamdulillah. Now, we spoke about, first of all, we spoke about the Cocos Keeling Islands in Australia. Then we spoke of Zanzibar, the halal destination, which we're talking of, which is the third one from the five that we're talking of today, is the Lombok, Indonesia Islands. Lombok is an island in West Nusa Tenggara province, Indonesia. It forms part of the chain of the Lesser Sunda Islands, with the Lombok Strait separating it from Bali to the west, and the Ellis Strait between it and Sumbawa to the east. So it's not far from Bali. It is roughly circular with a tail to the southwest, which is about 70 kilometers across and a total area of about 4,514 square kilometers. So it's pretty big. The provincial capital and the largest city on the island is Mataram. It is somewhat similar in size and density with neighboring Bali and shares some cultural heritage. But it's administratively part of Nusa Tenggara Barat, along with sparsely populated Sumbawa. It is surrounded by a number of smaller islands locally called Gili. Now, Lombok is also known as the island of a thousand masjids, simply because there is a masjid in every corner. And the muazzins has the most beautiful voices, mashallah. Lombok is the place to feed your halal cravings and the place to try all the cocktails that you have never been able to try, which is all halal, the mocktails, which is totally alcohol free, alhamdulillah, and that is available in Lombok. Many hotels in Lombok promote themselves as Islamic. They do have the Qibla stickers, they have Qurans, they have musallas also. So you'll have the total Muslim environment in them, and that's what we'd like to see. And that is the places that we want to go to. That is the destinations that we'd like to go to, where you have that Muslim environment, alhamdulillah, and you are certain that you are going to get halal. And we, you know, what they've done, lots of hotels, they've even removed some of these channels, these musical channels from the list that they have in the hotels. And if you take a drive around the island, you can't avoid noticing the cute little boys with topis and the girls with hijabs leaving school in small groups or in a long line along the road. Lombok has some of the most beautiful coral reefs because many small cities of the island are less visited by tourists. Now, it is lovely to go to Lombok. And, you know, if you are going to Bali, try and hop over for a day, for maybe a day, 2 days or so, two nights, whatever it may be. Hop over just to visit these places. It would be nice. In fact, when you do something like that, when you go and you visit these people, it gives them that encouragement. Talk about deen also. Make your intention of going there dawah. And Allah will bless you for that, inshallah. Allah will make your journey a blessed one, inshallah. We have the fourth one from the five, which is Maldives. Now, as we all know, Maldives is a Muslim country. We call it and we know it as a Muslim country. The Republic of Maldives is a sovereign archipelagic nation positioned in the Indian Ocean. Notably, the South Asian island nation has no counterpart in the entire world in terms of its unique geography and topography. The Maldives comprises of 26 natural atolls consisting of dual island chains. Incidentally, the Maldivian language has the distinct pleasures of contributing to the English word atoll, which was derived from the Maldivian word atolhu. Now, the atoll of islands, that's what we talk of. There are channels of various sizes between the atolls used for navigation, for efficient administrative functioning. The 26 natural atolls are categorized into 20 administrative divisions. Particularly, the island nation is located in a strategic area with access to major international sea routes in the Indian Ocean. The Maldives, located on top of a vast underwater mountain range, have around 1,190 islands and sandbanks. The pearl string-like islands cover a land area of no less than 298 square kilometers, so it's pretty big, as compared to the first island we spoke of. And all the islands are encircled by a lagoon blessed with crystal clear water. Now, we see that in pictures all the time. The turquoise water, you look at that white sandy beaches, you'll see those corals, those starfish corals, you'll see all those things, beautiful. And the weather is excellent. The best weather you can get there. Maldivians are esteemed around the world for their hospitality and affability towards their guests. Currently, the population of Maldives is about 350,000 people. Additionally, close to 60,000 registered foreigners reside in the country. Maldivians share a similar cultural heritage, history, ancestry, homeland, language, and religion. So it's basically one unit, I would call it. These common factors are the reason for the unity and harmony prevailing in the alluring islands. Maldivian ancestral roots can be traced back to Sinhalas of Sri Lanka, the Marathis and the Gujaratis of India, the Arabs, the Malays, and the Northern African dispositions. Accordingly, Maldivians emerge from a mixed race, which has enriched the culture and history of the country. Presently, Maldivians are adherents of, the majority of the Maldivians are Sunni, alhamdulillah. The Maldivians embraced Islam in 1153 already. And since then, Islam has played a key role in shaping the Maldivian society. Some of the famous landmarks in the country have been greatly influenced by Islamic architecture. And before reverting to Islam, the Maldivians were known to practice Buddhism, an ancient paganism. Ancient Buddha's ruins are preserved in the country, and antique Buddha's artifacts are displayed in the National Museum in Malé. Traditionally, whenever guests visit a local island, the islanders will welcome them by serving a fresh coconut drink. This tradition has continued on to right up to this day, and do not be surprised if your resort offers a beautifully decorated coconut drink when you reach your destination. That is a welcome that they give you, and you'd find that they'll string up on the sides and allow you to have that coconut drink, and you'll see them all giving you that welcome note and stretching their hands out and giving you that welcome note. And I think at 99% of the hotels they would do that. And that is a welcome of the people. Okay, you know, they may be paid to do that, but that is their hospitality. But you will notice that when you get out of the hotels and when you're doing your tours and when you're going out in Maldives, wherever you're going out, you will find that hospitality still exists. And that is the nature of the people. And the thing is, the type of people that you get, it's the hearts that they have for other people, not only because you're Muslim, but for people that come and visit them as visitors, they treat them well. Inshallah, Allah give them all the success. The last one of the five is Langkawi. Langkawi is in Malaysia. Discover a faraway island, a tropical paradise in Langkawi, alluring and idyllic in its natural beauty, majestic and spectacular in its cultural heritage. Experience the isles of the legends of Langkawi. Now, Langkawi is right up north of Malaysia. Beautiful. It's fantastic. Lots of people fly up to Langkawi and you go there just to chill out. You go to Kuala Lumpur, but then you go up to Langkawi and you just go and relax there. There is not much to do there, but you go out there and relax. There is the best known legend of Langkawi is of Mashuri. Now, lots of people that go there will hear the story of Mashuri. A pretty maiden who lived in Langkawi between 1762 and 1800. The story goes that Mashuri, the daughter of Pandak Maya and Chik Alang, grew up to be a beautiful young woman of marrying age. From the many suitors, Mashuri was then engaged to marry one Darus, the younger brother of the village headman, Dato Vikarma Jaya. Soon their idyllic life was disrupted when one Darus left to fight against the invading Siamese army. It was during this time that Mashuri befriended a young wandering minstrel named Teraman. The village chief's wife, Wan Mahora, who was always jealous of Mashuri's beauty, accused Mashuri of adultery in the absence of Wan Darus. Mashuri was tied to a tree in the scorching sun for days while awaiting her punishment. She pleaded her innocence, but no one believed her. She was finally sentenced to death, but none of the daggers or swords could kill her. Now, this is all what they're saying. And when they talk of these things, some call it a myth, but there's different stories to it. And then they say, when she was stabbed, white blood flowed from the wound, signifying her innocence. With her dying breath, Mashuri cursed Lankawi with 7 generations of bad luck. Lankawi then experienced a period of tribulations, from the Siamese invasion to a series of droughts and floods, prompting the populace to believe in the Mashuri curse. And that's what happened thereafter. And it is off the coast, Lankawi is off the coast of Kedah, is a cluster of 99 islands offering the best of many worlds. Beautiful beaches, world-class infrastructure, mangroves rich in flora and fauna, ultra-cheap, duty-free shopping, and fascinating legends. Today, the 7th generation of Lankawi's inhabitants has long come and gone, but people here still believe that the prosperity and blessings the island enjoyed today and the passing of the curse is no mere coincidence. The mysticism of the legend can be felt in many parts of this island, especially at Makam Mashuri. That's the mausoleum where Mashuri is said to be buried. Now, there's so much of stories about all that, and then you have all the different places that you can visit. And the Islam was brought to Malaysia by the Indian Muslim traders in the 12th century. And it is commonly held that Islam first arrived in Malay Peninsula since Sultan Muzaffar Shah the first, which was in the 12th century of Kedah. The first ruler to be known to revert to Islam after being introduced to it by Indian traders who themselves were recent reverts. Islam was adopted peacefully by the coastal trading ports people of Malaysia and Indonesia, absorbing rather than conquering existing beliefs. By the 15th and 16th centuries, it was the majority faith of the Malay people. And alhamdulillah, to date, you'll find, when you go there, you'll find lots of halal, you'll find lots of Muslims, and what a place to be at. It is beautiful. And also, the halal authorities are very, very strict. Known for a fact, it is very strict. So when you go there, when they say halal, they genuinely mean halal. You would find that lots of these people, you'll find them in those restaurants. You can see that they are true Muslims. And that is what we want. When you go to many places, and that's when you feel like you feel like you're at home. And you wouldn't mind having a good holiday then. Now, when you go to different destinations, alhamdulillah, you'd find that that's the first thing we look at. We always say that our deen comes first. Wherever it may be, our deen comes first. When we go to different destinations, alhamdulillah, we get lots of feedback from lots of listeners. We find that people will go in and they'll tell us of the good time that they had when they just entered the country, how people treated them and so on. You'd find all that happening. Now, when we leave South Africa, we have the tendency of making inquiries of certain places, of where we're going and what we're doing, and what is the notion of that particular place. But sometimes, we are taken aback by some incidences that take place in certain places of the world. When we go to certain countries which we expect how to be treated, we expect to be ill-treated, I would say. But when we go to that destination, we find, oh, we just walk through. They treated us well. On the other hand, the smaller countries that you would assume that would treat you exceptionally well when you come there, that you would you'd walk freely into the country, or you'd walk freely into the airports of the country, be it transit or be it getting into the country, you'd think that you'd be able to do it freely. And that's when you get hassled. Those are the countries which are unexpected hassle countries. But sometimes, it's not always the case. Sometimes when that happens, it's probably one in a few or one in many. But the mere fact that it happens, where you do have a problem there, always put a damper on your holidays when you then choose a holiday destination thereafter. And when incidents like these happen, you have your reservations, especially when you go with a family. You then have your reservations that, okay, I'm going for a holiday, wherever I'm going for a holiday, wherever I'm going, will this happen to me again if I've been to a certain country, or if I've been to a country and something had happened to me? And we have a listener online, alhamdulillah. I think we have Brother Desai. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Nazim.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
JazakAllah for joining us on this Sunday morning. You know, you gave me a brief on what had happened where you went for a holiday, alhamdulillah, you were in transit. But more than that, you gave me a brief of what happened to you in particular. JazakAllah for bringing it to our attention, where we can talk to other listeners and inform them of what had happened. Do you want to brief us as to what had transpired on your journey? I think you were going to Mauritius and you were going to Reunion or wherever it may have been, and you had an incident that took place, which I was taken aback when you gave me the incident. I was taken aback as to why would that happen in those countries. I was always under the impression that it's the best places to go to. Can you brief us as to what had transpired, brother?
Yes. What happened was, my family and I, we booked a trip to Mauritius for using Air Austral and landing in St. Denis, Roland Garros Airport. And when we arrived there, we went through the customs, and the customs official looked at my wife and he pointed at her and he started shouting at her, "This is France. That is not allowed," because she wears a niqab. And he kept on insisting, you know, lift it, remove it. So she thought she just wants to have a look at it. She lifted it up. He looked at her face, and now the official took my passport away. Is the line clear, Mohammed?
Have you got the radio on that side?
I think in the other part of the house. Let me just tell him to switch it.
Radio.
Okay, I think... No, it's still giving feedback. Is that better now?
Okay. Yeah, okay, continue. Gee.
Okay, so he continued shouting at my wife that she should lift the niqab, and that is not allowed, and this is France. So we did so, and then another gentleman on the same flight came with us, Afrikaans-speaking man, and when he asked him which way he should go, he politely pointed them in the direction, transit is that way, but yet with us, he withheld our passports. And he continued, you know, looking at my wife and you know, pointing at her. After that, we went through, cleared through customs, went into the transit lounge, and when we stood there, I mean, I stood and spoke to the Afrikaans chap, and my wife sat down with the kids, and the same official brought a police officer to my wife, stood in front of her, and the police officer made my wife remove a niqab and a hijab, and that police officer insisted that she do it. If she didn't do it, she was going to be arrested. And they waited there until she removed her scarf and a hijab and a niqab. My kids were in tears. After they left, they came to me and Papa said, they told me, "Papa, we don't want to live in this place. And we were going to spend a week in Reunion." We thereafter cancelled our trip to Reunion and spent full time in Mauritius.
And noting that you were in transit when this happened.
Correct. We kept on telling them we're only in transit. We have our boarding passes. We're about to climb on a plane. They didn't change anything.
Man. And then there was no other... Was nobody else they did anything like that?
No, they didn't do that to any other passengers, but there were other female Muslim people around. What happened was, after the incident, some people from Mauritius came there, and a Mauritian lady took out a pink hijab and gave it to my wife and said, "Put this on and they won't trouble you." So my wife wore that, and then it seemed okay.
So that guy probably looked at the colors, because your wife probably had a black hijab on.
Yes, Yes.
So then that is why, as you mentioned, that they gave a pink one that they were okay with.
I mean, a few seats away, there was another lady with a black hijab full also, but just no niqab on.
Yes.
So it was odd. It was odd.
That's something.
And you know what, in contrast, Mohammed, when we landed in Mauritius, the customs official directs my wife to a female customs official to lift the niqab and show her. And on return, when we were leaving Mauritius, the queue was so long at the customs, they sent us to the diplomatic customs counter to clear us out fast because there was a woman there. Now look how they treat us there, making you welcome and appreciating the fact that you are Muslim and your wife is in hijab and niqab, and put you one side so that to assist you, as opposed to the reunion where they treat you like you are a terrorist.
And I've never expected this from reunion. I've heard so many people wanting to go to reunion just to visit reunion. I've never, never, never expected this to happen.
No.
Have you taken the matter up with any of the officials or anybody?
Well, my travel agent did complain to Air Austral, telling them that they should make people aware that this is one of their requirements when you land or in transit, as we were not aware of it. We were caught totally unaware. And it put a whole damper on our vacation. The kids were traumatized. And it costed me a fortune to reroute everything and cancel everything, lost all my deposits and everything in reunion.
I can imagine it set you back completely on that. But what I'll definitely do is, I've got your details there. I'm going to see as far as I can also assist with this and take the matter further with authorities that I'm in contact with. And let's see if we can do something. And Mauritius and reunion were closely together. I know somebody at somebody from Mauritian.
The Mauritians were exceptional. They actually respected the niqab and the hijab of my wife. Like I said, they actually fast-tracked us to a woman in the diplomatic section of the airport, yes.
Maybe they can assist in talking to their counterparts and their neighbors on that. Because people that go to Mauritius and go to reunion, obviously they do one holiday together.
Yes.
And it's bad for business for reunion if this is what they're doing.
Correct.
You know, it's in the interest of Mauritius to also rectify it then.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Inshallah. So I've got your details, inshallah. I'll follow this up and let's see if we can do something and take the matter further. Let's see as far as we can go with this. Because it is, and jazakallah for the warning, I must say, for lots of our listeners, because this is something that is of utmost importance that our listeners should know, and they should now probably ask questions before they leave South Africa when it comes to these airlines and when it comes to these companies that they deal with. Probably the companies, the travel agents or the groups that are taking tours, they should be informed about these things, and we will highlight it, inshallah.
Yes, that will be of assistance to travelers, inshallah.
I really appreciate you talking to us, and apologies for that, what happened. Allah make it easy for you, and inshallah, your sabr, Allah will really, really make it easy for you, inshallah.
Jazakallah
for joining us on this morning.
Inshallah, we will be helpful.
Jazakallah. Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sometimes we have that tendency of being so complacent, but these things do happen in life. So we must just be very careful, and we should bring it to the authorities. We mustn't leave it lying low. When these things happen, bring it to the authorities. Make a hoo-ha about it. Because that's the only time when things will change, inshallah. So let us see what happens. We'll try and assist as far as we can. From myself, Mohammed Lambad, until next week, same place, same time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.